So now that we've encouraged you to gamble your life away, let's at least help you be successful at it. Steve Paulson sat down to get some advice from Michael Mobison. He's the head of global financial strategies at Credit Suisse and author of the book you're going to need, The Success Equation.
And the simple rule is when there's lots of skill, what happened before is likely to persist into the future. But when there's lots of luck, there's no reason to believe that what's happened before will happen again. And so just having that framework in mind, I think, allows you to better understand the past and the future.
Okay, explain that. If there's lots of skill, it sounds like you're saying the outcomes will be similar in the future. Why would that be the case?
Well, you think about a high skill activity, a very trivial example would be something like a running race. So we know that Usain Bolt is the fastest sprinter in the world. And I suspect, Steve, if we lined up against him and he ran, he would beat us. And if we did it again, he would win again, right? So there'd be enormous amounts of persistence. So take that on one side of the extreme. On the other hand, if you are a lottery winner and you were lucky enough to have done that, the next week you play, the probability of you winning again would be very low, right? So it's basically a random process. So what happened before gives you no indication of what will happen next.
Right. And yet I'm guessing that we tell stories about whether there's luck involved or whether, you know, what happened was because of our skill. And do we sometimes get lost in our narratives about skill and luck?
It's a huge deal. It's fascinating. So a little sidebar, there's fascinating work by Michael Gazzaniga, who's a neuroscientist, on split brain patients. And the split brain part's important because it allows them to understand the modules of the brain. But to make a long story short, what they found was in the left hemisphere, we have a module they call the interpreter. And the job of the interpreter is to attach causes to effects that it sees. So no matter what happens, your mind creates a narrative to explain that outcome, and then you file it in your brain. Now, here's the key. The interpreter knows nothing of luck. So typically when you observe good outcomes, you assume some good process was behind that, and you observe bad outcomes, you think something bad happened. And the interpreter doesn't make that distinction. So we are constantly confused by narratives, by stories that explain what's happened, and we don't take into consideration appropriately the role of luck.
Can you give me some examples of this? I mean, what might be some activities that we think are mostly a matter of luck, but actually there's a lot of skill involved?
Usually it doesn't go the other way around is where people get confused, right? They think there's a lot of skill and there's a lot more luck. You know, one example that's a very clear one would be professional sports leagues. So what we're able to do is look at professional sport leagues, and we can actually use some quantitative methods to do this and actually place them on the continuum quite accurately. So, for example, the NBA is a sport that contains the most skill, or skill is the most dominant in that sport, whereas something like ice hockey tends to be most random. And the way we do this quantitatively without getting into the boring details is we say, what would the world look like if only luck mattered, right? So for every sports game, simply you would flip a coin and whoever called it right would win that game. And then we examine from an empirical point of view how far we depart from that scenario. And that range of departure allows us to then estimate the relative contributions of skill and luck. So there's an example, and if you, by the way, just in terms of rank order, it goes NBA, and then it's Premier League Soccer, then Major League Baseball, then the NFL, and then the NHL. The NHL is a sport with the most randomness in it. And I'll mention something else that was sort of it's been the most talked about part of the book. And it's something that I call the paradox of skill. I want to be clear, it's not my idea. But the paradox of skill sets, when you think about skill, you have to think it on two dimensions. The first is absolute skill. And I think if we look around the world today, whether it's investing or business or sports, I think we could generally agree that absolute skill has never been higher. But the second dimension is relative skill, which is the difference between the very best and the average. And what we've seen in these same domains is a collapsing of relative skill. So the difference between the very best and the average is less today than in generations before. So when you think about something like the NHL, as you point out, the scoring dimensions and just the best players are only on the ice a certain percentage of the time and so forth. But there's another way to think about it, which is essentially if the skills are equally matched, then luck is going to determine the outcome.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't matter how, you know, if you and I are playing tennis, if we're evenly matched, then luck will be much more important. So it's this sort of paradoxical idea that in many cases, as skill goes up, absolutely, it collapses relatively, and more is being left to luck. And this is a really interesting idea that in the world, more and more is being left to luck, not because people are not skillful, but rather because their skill is becoming more uniform.
You write that the secret to success is the reversion to the mean. Can you explain what that means?
So reversion to the mean is an idea, which is, by the way, very tricky, but it says that outcomes that are far from average will be followed by outcomes with an expected value closer to the average. So that's a mouthful, right? But it basically says something like, to always realize whenever you're seeing extreme outcomes and there's luck involved, you should anticipate that the next outcome will be much more close to the average. And it's very difficult for people to do that because as humans, we tend to like to extrapolate things, right? Things will continue as they are forever.
Well, I mean, let's talk about gambling. I mean, it would seem like the obvious case of someone's at the roulette wheel is on a hot streak. Are you saying that you should assume that hot streak is going to end?
Of course. Yeah, and of course. And gambling, there are a lot of things that also the outcomes, if it's assuming everything is fair, these are random outcomes, right? So they're independent and random. So, yeah, there is no such thing as a hot streak, right? So there are people that win in successions or lose in successions. But
what do you mean there's no such thing as a hot streak? I mean, people at the gambling table talk about hot streaks all the time.
Yeah, well, that's all contained within what you would expect from probability theory. For example, as you know, you have 1,000 people and you flip coins 20 times or 30 times. You know there will be a statistical distribution where some people will call them all right, some will call them all wrong. We know that a priori just based on the statistics of it. If you happen to be the person calling it right or wrong, you're going to feel like you're on a hot streak or you're really lucky or really skillful. But we know, again, statistically, that's well contained and explained by what we would just expect by randomness.
Okay, what about a hot streak that an athlete is on? You know, an athlete who's in the zone. And I mean, there was a great example this year in the NBA. Klay Thompson goes off in one NBA game, sets the NBA record for points scored in a quarter, 37 points in the third quarter in one game. He's never come close to that before, probably will never do that again. How should we look at that?
There are two ideas here. The first is, and this has been talked about a lot, is the idea of a hot hand. Right. So you're the guy who's hot. We pass you the ball and you keep making shots. Now, the hot hand initially about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there's a paper that basically debunked it. They looked at NBA data and said, basically, this doesn't exist. So that's one thing.
Wait, how can we say it's not? I mean, we can watch a game and we can see this person has the touch right now. You feed him the ball. He keeps making shot after shot. How could that not be?
So the key point, Steve, is it's within in other words, it's within probability. So the second thing I'll say is that when you see streaks in sports, and this would be, you know, Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak or a player making consecutive field goals in basketball. So basically streaks, those outliers are great skill plus great luck. And if you think about it, that sort of has to be true. So saying this differently, not all skillful players have streaks, but all the streaks are held by skillful players, right? Because skill is the prerequisite and luck comes on top.
So do you kind of look at the world through the lens of probability?
I personally do. And I think that writing this book, by the way, has really made me much more mindful of a lot of these concepts. And I think that, again, going back to this concept of the interpreter, this part of our brain that's creating causes for every effect we see, we naturally are spinning narratives around us to sort of weave together a cohesive world. And when you introduce these ideas about probabilities and luck and skill, I think it gives you a very different take on many situations, hopefully a more refined take on things. And again, the key is to allow you to better understand what has happened, but much more importantly, again, a better way of thinking about what is likely to happen. So just a much richer, I think a much richer way of thinking about what happens in the world.
So I have to ask, do you believe at all in fate or destiny?
No.
Why am I not surprised?
No. It's a probably more complicated answer than that. But no, the answer would be no. And I think this idea of things that are preordained or deterministic, certainly that's not a way of thinking that is attractive to me.
Michael Mobuson is the managing director and head of global financial strategies at Credit Suisse. His book is called The Success Equation.